This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Of our beloved Prophet Muhammad ﷺ that you won't ordinarily find in the books on the shelf. When I say the books on the shelf, I'm going to continue from where we left off. And we were speaking about Qusay ibn Kilab. Qusay ibn Kilab. وَهُوَ الْمُجَمَّعِ هُوَ الْمُجَمَّعِ There are three Qurayshas. Al-Quraysh al-Akbar, وهو النضر قال الحافظ العراقي رحمه الله تعالى في سيرته he wrote a thousand line poem الحافظ العراقي the great muhaddith he wrote a thousand line poem on the seerah of the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم so when it comes to the nasab he says هو ابن عبد الله عبد المطلب he is the son of Abdullah the son of عبد المطلب هو ابن عبد الله عبد المطلب أبوه وهو شيبة الحمد نسب His father شيبة الحمد عبد المطلب wasn't his name In fact what happened was and we're going to go into that a little bit later in detail inshallah ta'ala when we speak about the life of Abdul Muttalib very important he just rediscovered the well of Zamzam he was there when Abraha came with his army from Habasha, or from Yemen, sorry. He was the governor in Yemen, Abraha, under the authority of the king, or the negus of Habasha. So a very important story, the life of Abd al-Muttalib. But his name was Shaybatul Hamd. His name was Shaybatul Hamd. Quite simply, because when he was born, he had, remember Charlie Weir? Charlie Weir, the boxer. You know, he had that piece of white hair on his head. Now, something similar to that. In some of the riwayat, just one white hair he had on his head when he was born, and that we call shayb. A shayb is basically gray hair or white hair. So his name was Shayba. When he was born, he had this piece of white hair on his head. And his father, Hashim, was a trader. In actual fact, it's Rihlat al-Shita'i was safe. He's the first one to take the caravan of Quraysh, Eid Quraysh. He used to take it to Sham in the summer and to Yemen in the winter. Li'ila fi Quraysh, ila fihim Rihlat al-Shita'i was safe. It was Hashim, the father of Abd al-Muttalib, that used to take this caravan. And you know what was their main port of call? This would have been in the summertime. In the summertime, they used to go to Sham, to Syria. And their main port of call was Gaza. That's why one of the names of Gaza is Gaza to Hashim. Gaza to Hashim, the Gaza of Hashim. And he's buried there. Hashim is buried in Gaza. In fact, when he was on one of his trips, and he was his wife, the mother of Abd al-Muttalib, her name was Salma bint Amr al-Najjariya. She was from Bani Najjar. Bani Najjar is a tribe from Al-Khazraj, from the Ansar. So you will see when I give you, if you're not into genealogy, then you might get a bit bored. But when you look at this genealogy, you will see how interestingly how the Prophet ﷺ was related to so many of his companions. From the Muhajirin, and from the Ansar. So his mother was from the tribe of Khazraj, one of the, you know, the Al-Aus wal-Khazraj are the two tribes of the Ansar from Medina, what was called Yathrib before. And they originate from Yemen, from Azd, the tribe of Azd. And they were otherwise known as Banu Qayla. So Hashim, his wife, Salma bint Amr al-Najjariya. She gave birth to her son, Shaybat al-Hamd. And they remained in Medina. So the brother of Hashim, Al-Muttalib, the brother of Hashim, went to go and fetch his nephew in Medina from Bani Najjar. Because look, he has to come and he has to grow up with Quraysh. You know, Quraysh have got Sadanat al-Bayt. They have got the custodianship of Baytullah al-Haram in Makkah. So there's a certain prestige. He can't grow up with Bani Najjar in Medina. He must come to Makkah. So Al-Muttalib, who by the way is the ancestor of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, that's why Al-Imam al-Shafi'i was known as Al-Imam al-Muttalibi. One of the great Shafi'i scholars, Al-Imam al-Subki, he wrote a book, قول الإمام المطلب إذا صح الحديث فهو مذهبي. The saying of the Muttalibi Imam, if the hadith is authentic, it's my madhab. It's one of the aqwal of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. So he was from Muttalib, and that's why also why Al-Imam al-Shafi'i said that Al-Bayt is not just from Bani Hashim, but from Bani Hashim and Bani al-Muttalib. And for that reason, if you come from Bani Hashim or Bani al-Muttalib, you cannot accept zakah or sadaqah. You cannot take zakah or sadaqah if you are from the family of the Prophet ﷺ, from Bani Hashim and Bani al-Muttalib. So al-Muttalib went to go and fetch his nephew. What's his nephew's name? Shaiba. Charlie Weir, the piece of white hair in the front of his head. He went to go and fetch Shaiba al-Hamd in Medina. And when he was coming back into Makkah, the people, they recognized Al-Muttalib, but they didn't recognize who's this young man riding behind him on his camel. So they thought it was his slave. And they said, هذا عبد المطلب. And the name just stuck. But it wasn't his name. It was just a nickname. And a nickname that was based on basically an illusion or something that they thought was the case. And the Prophet never changed or never, how can I say, because this ubudiyah was not ubudiyah of worship. Although we don't name our children Abd al-Muttalib, and it was never recommended to name one's child Abd al-Muttalib after the grandfather of the Prophet ﷺ. But the Prophet ﷺ used to boast, not boast in an arrogant way, but in battle. You know, that's the only time when boasting is actually permissible. He used to say, أَنَا النَّبِيُّ لَا كَذِبْ أَنَا إِبْنُ عَبْدُ الْمُطَّلِبِ, as he would charge into battle. He would say, I am a prophet, no lies. I am the son, meaning the grandson, of Abd al-Muttalib. So he was named that because people thought he was the slave of his uncle, al-Muttalib. Right. So, inshallah, we're going to be doing all of these individuals and taking some important details which leads up then to the birth of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But perhaps one of the most important characters is this character, Jannah. Shh. A beautiful child, mashallah. Allah guide and protect her, Jannah. Allah take us all to Jannah. Ameen. So Qusay, what was his name? His name was Zayd. Huwa ibn Abdillahi Abdul Muttalib. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abdullah. The son of Abdullah, the son of Abd al-Muttalib. Huwa ibn Abdillah Abd al-Muttalib. Abuhu wa huwa Shaybat al-Hamdi Nusib. That was his real name, Shaybat al-Hamd. Abuhu Amr Hashim. And his father, Abd al-Muttalib's father, his name was Amr. He was known as Hashim li'annahu Hashama al-Tharida liqawmihi fi Makkah. What does Hashama mean? To grind the flour for the porridge. And Amr, the father of Abd al-Muttalib, he also got a nickname. His nickname was Hashim. His name was actually Amr. Abuha Amr al-Hashim wal Jaddu. Abdu Munaf. Abdu Manaf. Afwan, they say Munaf. Innama Manaf with Fatha. His father was Abdu Manaf. Abdu Manaf ibn Qusay and Zaydu. And Abdu Manaf was the son of Qusay. Qusay had three sons. Abdul Dar. In fact, you know the great Sahabi Mus'ab ibn Umair? He was from Bani Abdul Dar. Abdul Dar, Abdul Uzza, and Abdu Manaf. These were the three sons of Qusay. And they say, Qila, it is said he had another son who was called Abdu Qusay. But Qusay's story is very, very interesting. Remember we said, why was his name Qusay? His given name was Zayd, but his name was Qusay because Qusay means the one who has been distanced from his family. Distanced from his family. Now Qusay ibn Kilab, his father's name was Kilab. In fact, that also wasn't his name. His name was Hakim. But his father, Murra, named him Kilab, dogs. Kalb, Kilab. Kalb means a dog. Kilab means dogs. In order to scare the enemy. He used to give these names in order. He used to do things and in order to make the enemy scared. So, Kilab, his father, was married to a woman by the name of Fatima bint Sa'd al-Azdiyya. She was from Azd, from that tribe in Yemen. And he also died, and Qusay Zayd was very young. So what she did was she remarried Fatima bint Sa'd al-Azdiyya. She married a man by the name of Rabi'a ibn Haram. Yeah, they had Jahiliyyah, they had all sorts of funny names. Rabi'a ibn Haram al-Adra'i, or al-Adra'i, bil-Hamza at the end. He was from Bani Adra, who is from Qudaa. Now you see, when we do the lineage of the Prophet ﷺ, Qudaa is right at the end of the lineage. So هو ابن عبد الله عبد المطلب أبوه وهو شيبة الحمد ينسب أبوه أمر هاشم والجد عبد مناف بن قصي زيد ابن كلاب أي حكيم يا أخي هو ابن مرة بن كعب بن لؤي وهو ابن غالب أي ابن فهري وهو ابن مالك أي ابن نضري وأبوه كنانة ما أبرك والده خزيمة بن مدركة. Now Mudrika had a brother, his name was Qudaa. So this is where it separates. So Qudaa is a famous tribe. If it wasn't for Qudaa, Qusay would never have been able to get into Makkah to rule over Makkah. Qudaa and Bani Bakr, Ibn Abdi Manat from Kinana, they both helped him to defeat Khuza'a and to drive them out of Makkah. But so the connection comes all the way, and they're all min al-Arab al-Musta'ariba. They're all of the Arabized Arabs, meaning they all come from Ismail. If I say Arabized Arabs, then I want you to think of one thing and one thing alone, Ismail. Because Ismail married the daughter of the chief of the tribe of Jurhum, and he learned فَتَعَلَّمَ مِنْهُمَ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ, and he learned Arabic from them. So they are the Arabized Arabs. What's interesting is that only one son of Ismail ruled in Makkah, and that was his eldest son, Nabit. And after Nabit, when Nabit passed away, the next son from where the Prophet ﷺ descends, Qidar or Qaidar, he never took over. Jurhum basically took over from Nabit. And so the Kaaba, Makkah, was in the hands of Jurhum from after Nabit, the son of Ismail, all the way until Khuza'a came to Makkah and drove Jurhum out in the year 160. So Jurhum was from the time of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, right up, we're talking over 2,000 years, right up until about 160 of the common era, when Khuza'a came and they drove Jurhum out of Makkah. And the first person to be ruling from Khuza'a, I told you about him last night, was Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i, the man who brought the first idol and put it in the Kaaba. He got the idol from the Moabites, the idol called Hubal, and he brought it and he put it in the Kaaba. That was the first leader of Khuza'a. And the last leader of Khuza'a, the last leader of Khuza'a, was a man by the name of Hulayl ibn Hubshiyah al-Khuza'i. Now very interestingly, remember we said Qusay was taken by his mother and this Rabi ibn Haram from Qudaa, and they went to go and live in Sham, in a place near to Al-Hijr. لقد كذب أصحاب الحجر المرسلين. In the Quran, the people of Hijr, they denied the messengers. What is Hijr? Hijr is modern day Petra, where the Nabataeans were, where the people of Thamud were. Remember Thamud? Nabiullah Salih was sent to Thamud. So the people of Quda'a and their clan, Adra, they lived in that area of Sham. So his mother Fatima bint Sa'd al-Azdiya took her son Qusay, Zayd, and went to go and live with Bani Adra. And one day they said to him, they were mocking him and saying, "Anta dakhilun alayna. You're like an imposter. Where do you come from? Go back to your people." But he didn't. He thought he was from them because he was small when his mother took him away. So Qusay asked his mother, "Where am I from?" She said, "You are from Quraysh. And your brother Zuhra, Amina, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she is from Bani Zuhra. Amina. The mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Amina, she's from Bani Zuhra." You'll see how they all connect, inshallah ta'ala. Zuhra was living on the outskirts of Makkah. Remember, Khuza'a was in control of Makkah after Jurhum. And the other tribes of Kinana, from where our beloved Prophet comes, from where Quraysh comes, from Kinana, they lived on the outskirts of Makkah. So Qusay returned and he went to go and live with his brother and his uncle, Taym, which is Bani Taym, where Sayyidina Abu Bakr comes from. But Qusay went into Makkah and he was trading and he became a person of great stature and influence. And so he eventually married the daughter of the leader of Khuza'a in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Hulayl ibn Hubshiya al-Khuza'i. He married her daughter, her name was Hubba. Hubba bint Hulayl ibn Hubshiya al-Khuza'i. Now here's a very interesting story. How did Qusay take the Sadana? How did he take the custodianship of Makkah and drive Khuza'a out? There are different riwayat. I'm going to share with you an interesting riwayat, an interesting narration. This narration is that when the leader of Khuza'a, when he became old, who am I speaking about? Qusay's father-in-law, Hulayl ibn Hubshiya al-Khuza'i. When he became old, he took a right-hand man to do his work for him, because he was old. And this man's name was Sulaym ibn Amr, otherwise known, famously known as Abu Ghubshan. Abu Ghubshan bil Ghain. Abu Ghubshan. And one day it is said that in Ta'if, Qusay and this Abu Ghubshan were drinking. Remember, Jahiliyyah, bil Asaf, very sadly, the streets of Makkah and Medina used to flow like the rivers of Babylon with alcohol. Wal'iyadu billah. It was Jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance. And so they were in Taif and they were drinking. And when this Naib, this vice leader of Khuza'a, when he had become intoxicated, Qusay managed to convince him to sell the custodianship. I mean, this is going to sound very strange to you because, your thoughts of Makkah and the people of Makkah is Islam and Tawheed and sobriety and everything that is good. The reality was that Makkah was filled with idols and people that consumed alcohol and gambled and did all sorts of other terrible things. So when they were in Taif, Qusay got this person who was in charge of Makkah as the vice leader of Khuza'a, Abu Ghubshan. He got him to become intoxicated and he got him to sell Sadanat al-Ka'ba for a qirba. A qirba is how would you call it? That it's like a goat's pelt, a goat's hide that they use for either filling water with or even alcohol. So he literally got him to sell the custodianship of the Kaaba for, astaghfirullah, for a qirba of wine. And then Qusay went back to Khuza'a and he had the keys of the Kaaba, because the person who's in charge of Sidana is the person who has the keys to the Kaaba. So he went back to Makkah and he held up the keys and he said that now I am in charge of the Kaaba. And in fact, there's some words of poetry that they wrote about this. They said, "Ba'at Khuza'atu baytallahi idh sakirat bizik khamrin fabi'sat safqatul badi ba'at sadanataha bil khamri wa anqaradat anil maqami wa dalla al bayta wan nadi." Said Khuza'a sold the house of Allah, meaning the custodianship of the Kaaba, when they became intoxicated with a container of alcohol, and wretched was the deal of the initiator. They sold the custodianship with wine and they perished from the station, and they lost the house and the assembly. So they lost the house, which is Sadana, and they lost the Nadwa, which was the assembly where all the leaders who were leading in Makkah used to gather. And there's a mathal, there's a saying that has arisen from this happening. It is أَخْسَرُ مِن صَفْقَةِ أَبِي غُبْشَان. And if somebody does a bad deal, if somebody like loses in a business deal, they'll say this is a greater loss than the deal of Abi Ghubshan, who literally sold the custodianship of the Kaaba. So what Khuza'a did when he made this claim, they took the keys away from him and they chased him out of Makkah. Then he went and he got Bani Bakr ibn Abdi Manat min Kinana. Quraysh is also from Kinana, remember? And he got his, where he had grown up with Quda'a, he got his half-brother from his mother, Nizah, to come and assist him and support him in fighting Khuza'a. And so Yawm al-Abtah, which was the name of the battle, ensued. And Qusay, who was leading the army with his allies from Bani Kinana, of Bani Bakr, and from Quda'a, they defeated Khuza'a. And then an arbitrator came from Bani Kinana, and he ruled that any blood that was shed from Khuza'a is under his feet, and any blood that was shed from the army of Qusay, Khuza'a must pay. And then Khuza'a was driven out of Makkah, and then Qusay came with those who had, those of his immediate family, Bani Abd al-Dar, Bani Abd al-Uzza, all the children of Qusay, Bani Abdi Manaf, from where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, Bani Sahm, Bani Jumah, Bani Taym, Bani Adi. Bani Adi is where Sayyidina Umar is from. Bani Taym is where Sayyidina Abu Bakr is from. And some of that. And Bani Makhzum, where Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid is from. And Bani Abd al-Shams. And Bani Umayyah. And then, of course, Bani Hashim. They all came with Qusay. And you know what he did? At that time, I think I explained to you last night, there were no houses. He was the first person to build houses. But you know what he had to first do? He first had to cut down the trees. And there was something that you can't do. Because Makkah has been a haram since the time of Nabi Ibrahim. You're not allowed to cut down trees. But now, because there were so many people with Qusay, and this is the first time Quraysh is now taking over Makkah. He's the leader of Quraysh. He comes, he says, look, we're going to have to cut down these trees. So they cut down a few trees and then they stood back and they waited. You know? And when they saw that nothing happened, they said, no, this guy is Barakah, man. This guy. And that is why Qusay became such a leader of Quraysh in Makkah that what he said was the law. He was a great leader. Remember I said that he set up the Rifada and the Siqaya. He took over the Sidana and the Nadwa, those officers. And what he said was the law. He put the roof on the Kaaba, and he was the first one to build houses around the Kaaba. And those of Quraysh that lived in Makkah, in the Haram, they are called Quraysh al-Abtah. Quraysh al-Abtah. And those who lived in the hill outside of the Haram from Quraysh, the question is, well, why didn't he include them? Maybe they didn't assist him when he fought Khuza'a. Allahu a'lam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But those that were kept, that had to live outside of the haram in the hill, they were called Quraysh al-Zawahir. So Quraysh al-Abtah and Quraysh al-Zawahir. And that is how Quraysh took over Makkah. Just to complete, inshallah, I'll end with this. The name Quraysh, what does it mean? Some say that if you look at Quraysh al-Akbar, the first Quraysh, which is Nadr. Nadr ibn Malik. Nadr went on the sea and he caught a kirsh, a shark. A shark. And he shot it with an arrow from the boat. He shot the shark with an arrow. And he took the kirsh and he cut off its head. And so he got the nickname Quraysh. Then his descendant, Fahr, he's considered to be Quraysh al-Awsat. He's the one then that gathered all the descendants of Nadr. Because the other meaning of Quraysh is that of Taqrish, which means to gather. And then Qusay, who is al-Mujammi', who did it physically, where he brought all the descendants of Fahr, those that he wanted with him, and he literally took them, drove Khuza out of Makkah, and took over Makkah. And it's such an important thing. Why? Because he is now in charge of Makkah and of his descendants. He's literally laying the path for the coming of Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Salawatu Rabbi wa salamu alayhi wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum.